Bible Broadcasting Network sharing the other day about how wonderful it was, and you've probably, if you listen to BBN, you probably heard him sharing as well, how wonderful it is to have been born in the United States of America. And, you know, sometimes we wonder, why in the world did God, if God was going to bring us into this world, why didn't he bring us into a third, why didn't he have us born in, have us to be born in a third world country? Or any other countries where the opportunities and the advantages are so limited, and yet how wonderful it is that the Lord has allowed us to be born into this great nation. And one of the points that he was making was, as we have had the privilege to be born in the United States of America, we have blessings that other countries and other people don't enjoy, and by virtue of that, we ought to be willing to help other countries. We ought to be willing to support those that are less fortunate than we are. And we ought to be careful to constantly to thank the Lord for the opportunities and for the blessings that we have, having been born as members of the United States of America. One of the most recognizable symbols of the United States is the Statue of Liberty, which sits on Liberty Island in the midst of the New York Harbor. On the tablet the lady holds in her hand is recorded the date July the 4th, 1776. Her crown dons seven spikes representing the seven continents of the world. The broken shackles at her feet symbolize freedom from oppression and tyranny. The Statue of Liberty is more than just a monument. She is a beloved friend, a living symbol of freedom to millions around the world. She stands at the entrance, the gateway, if you will, into a free world, a world full of opportunity and hope for the future. Her lamp is lifted high to show others the way. Her invitation to all the world is inscribed on her pedestal base. It says, "Give me your tired, give me your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." I was listening to a minister this morning talking about serving or ministering overseas for a number of years. And then when he came home, when he finally got the opportunity to come home, he flew into New York. And as he was flying over the New York Harbor, he looked down and he saw the Statue of Liberty. How wonderful and how marvelous it was to know that he was coming home to a place where there was no great oppression, where there was no tyranny, where he was able to come and go as he pleased. And he was just coming from an area where there was civil war going on and where people were not restful. People didn't have an opportunity to have the security and the peace that we enjoy in the United States, and how wonderful it was. He was, and how impressed he was, and how spiritually uplifting it was to him to know that he was coming home. Many times, as I've been overseas, and many of you that served in the military. And by the way, if you've served in the armed forces of the United States of America, if you've served in the armed forces, would you stand at this time? Would you stand? Let me tell you that each one of... Thank you. Whether they've served in combat, and they have, there are those that just stood that have served actually in combat. Others have been prepared to go into combat. What a wonderful... it's wonderful to know that we have men and women in the United States of America today that are willing, that are right now on the front lines in harm's way, protecting us and serving others to bring peace and liberty to foreign shores as well. You know, the one way that America can truly enjoy the peace that she strives for is to see that there's peace throughout the world. And we know that the true peace throughout the world is not going to come until the Lord Jesus Christ comes into this world. But many of us have left this country, gone overseas, served in other countries, and then how wonderful I can just tell you, it was marvelous to know that we were getting on a plane to come home to the United States. While Lady Liberty and the words ascribed to her are symbols of freedom, they, at their pinnacle, can only point to yet a higher hope, a hope not only concerning our earthly existence, but also our eternal existence. And this is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, who also beckons us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Just as Lady Liberty calls out to all who are tired and poor and longing to be free, Christ calls out to all that labor and are heavy laden spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Albert Barnes writes that there can be no doubt that Christ meant here chiefly to address the poor, the lost, the ruined sinner who is burdened down with the heaviness of his sin. Finding no escape, no relief, and no peace, there is relief, there is peace, and there is a lifting of his burden in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's so true. And I think each and every one of us, probably as we've made our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ over time, we have also experienced these very same periods of time in our life where we were unsettled, where we suffered anxiety, where we were burdened down with the burden of sin upon our life, never knowing that if we died today, whether or not we would go to heaven or we would go to hell. And how wonderful it is to know that Jesus Christ has made it very simple to us, that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we have no fear of going to hell. We have all the hope and all the joy of knowing that we're going, and the confidence of knowing that we're going to heaven. Christ tells us to come to him, to believe in him, and to trust in him, and in him only for salvation. Doing this, we will rest, and we will find rest from the burden of our sins, from the alarms of our conscience, and from the terrors of the law, and from the fears of eternal judgment. Christ is our great Redeemer. He came into this world to deliver us from the captivity of sin, and we read about his great commission in Isaiah chapter 61. I want you to turn back to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and I want you to go to chapter 61, and I want to read the first and second verse there. This is the commission of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, the Jews were looking forward to the coming of their Messiah. The Jews are looking, many of the Orthodox Jews today are still looking for the coming of their Messiah. But in Isaiah chapter 61, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." This was the great commission of God's Messiah, God's anointed. And we find that fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many did not realize that. Many of the Jews today don't realize that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. I want you to turn with me back to the New Testament now, to chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ is our great deliverer. When you're at chapter 4, say amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, in the time that we have left here this morning, Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father. If we've come to church this morning for any other reason than to come to worship and to have fellowship with to worship you, Father, and to have fellowship with your children, Father, we've come for the wrong reason. I pray this morning, Father, as we share in these words, Father, as you broke the bread of life to the Jews in his own hometown, Father, in your own hometown where you grew up, Father, you shared with them this very scripture from the Old Testament to make it clear that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, had come for that very purpose of delivering us from the bondage of sin. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior, that they're still bound up in their sin, Father, I pray today that they'll see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the simple message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by grace are we saved through faith and that not of ourselves. It's a gift, a wonderful gift that God has given us of eternal life. Father, this morning you bless, you just minister to each one of us, Father, beginning with this one in the pulpit, Father, right out to each and every one in this congregation. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. There was many people had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. The fame of the Lord Jesus Christ had gone out powerfully. Verse 15 says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Everybody was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, Matthew tells us, and this fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So it would have been almost impossible for anyone in these regions to say they had not heard of the man called Jesus. Everybody was talking about the Lord. And now he comes home to his hometown of Nazareth. And verse 16 says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. It was Christ's custom to be in church on the Sabbath day. The custom of the Jews was to read from the Scriptures and sing hymns and then to pray. Hasn't changed much, has it? I mean, I think that the Christian worship service is very much the way it used to be. And still is in the Jewish synagogues. And so the custom of the Jews was to read from the Scriptures and sing hymns and to pray. And the rabbi would select out of the group of worshipers someone to read from the Scriptures. But on this particular date, the Bible says that Christ stood up and the book of the prophet Isaiah was brought to him. Verse 17 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Notice this. No rabbi opened that Bible and brought him to the place where the rabbi wanted him to read. The Lord Jesus Christ picked up the Holy Scriptures and he opened to the place where he wanted to read. And no doubt he had something to say. Verse 17 says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. From this text, the audience right away would understand that the prophet Isaiah was speaking of the coming of the Messiah of God. All of those that were sitting there in that synagogue, when they heard Jesus Christ read this verse of Scripture, the first thing they were thinking about was the coming of the Anointed One, the coming of their Messiah. In their hearing, the Spirit of the Lord is or would be upon Messiah. The anointing of the Lord is and would be upon the Messiah. But at this point, they do not recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. And so Christ reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do six things. Let me share these with you. To preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me tell you that as a Christian today, that is your obligation as well. That is your obligation, that's your great commission as well, is to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, that Christ has come to set us free, to deliver us from a number of things, to give to us eternal life. To preach the gospel to the poor, the gospel is the good news. The gospel message is a message of hope and promise, a message of comfort and reassurance of better things to come. Our Savior met with his greatest success among the poor, among the outcast and the stranger. Though the poor may be lacking in the treasures of this world, they were now very able to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. The poor of the community, the poor in the world at Jesus' time were the most neglected. The scribes and the Pharisees looked down their noses at the poor. And Christ came to preach the good news to the poor. And he came to heal the brokenhearted. Imagine, if you will, being an outcast of the church, being told that the kingdom of God was never intended for the likes of you, that you were unworthy of anything God had to provide for others. how brokenhearted you would be. Yet Christ came as the great physician. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort and to cure the afflicted conscience, to give peace to those who were troubled under a dread of God's wrath to come, and to bring them to rest who were weary and heavy laden under the burden of their guilt. And then Christ came to preach deliverance to the captives. John Gill writes, "Who are captives to sin? Who are captives to Satan and captives under the law, from which there is only deliverance by Christ, who saves his people from their sins, redeems them from the law, and leads captivity captive." This liberty and this deliverance are part of the great gospel message to be preached throughout the world. For every man and every woman is captive to their sin nature and destined for eternal judgment without the glorious good news of God's deliverance preached by his own messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now today, hopefully, shared by his disciples who are present in this sanctuary this morning. The Lord's gospel message sets us free. And then he's to preach the recovering of sight to the blind. We are immediately reminded of the healing power of the Lord Jesus as he walked through the regions of Judea, healing the sick and the afflicted. And while it is true that Christ ministers physical healing, he also brings about healing from spiritual blindness. The scribes and the Pharisees, though in the temple every Sabbath, though close to the law of God in their knowledge, were spiritually blind to the truth of God's love, to the truth of God's compassion, and to the truth of God's mercy. Sometimes many Christians are likewise. They understand all about the Scriptures. They understand all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But somehow this attitude of love and compassion and encouragement to brothers and sisters somehow fails them in many ways. So we need to be. I think we need to be as Christians first of all people who love one another and want to look out for one another's needs. The Gentiles who sat in great spiritual darkness or blindness have now seen the great light of God's truth and have had the scales of spiritual blindness fall from their eyes. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, that the Gentiles would realize the coming of the Messiah before the Jews would? And what an embarrassment to the Jews to know that all through the Old Testament scriptures, the reports, the prophecies of the coming of their Messiah, and when he came on the scene, they didn't even recognize him. They rejected him. And yet the Gentiles believed in him. And then he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Here again is a reference to those that may be suffering from some physical or emotional bruising caused by sin in their own life, or sinful acts committed against them by another. Those living in deep despair, emotional stress, and depression. Christ has come to relieve every emotional burden. He has come to lift mental anguish and anxiety and to set our hearts and minds at liberty. John 8:36, Jesus says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free." How? Indeed. Free indeed. And then finally, he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. Today, this very moment, we're living in the acceptable year of the Lord. Today, one who's burdened under the heavy misery and pain and suffering of sin can still come to the Lord Jesus Christ, can still reach out to him because the door is still open. The acceptable year of the Lord has not ceased yet. Hebrews 3:15 says, "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, for today is the day of salvation." And so Jesus finished reading this text. And the Bible says in verse 20, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down." And listen to what the last part of that verse says. "And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." How many times do you think they'd heard that verse of Scripture read before? How many times have you heard John 3:16 read before? How many times have you really listened to a piece of Scripture that's so familiar to Christians, and you just listened to it, and then you were ready to go on to the next piece of Scripture? Well, this is the way it is many times in worship. You know, we'll sit down and we'll read Scripture, and we'll begin to read, and we're not reading what God, we're not reading for understanding. We're just reading words. But today, this particular verse of Scripture, which these Jewish folks had heard many times before, now their ears have been opened, now their hearts have been pricked, and now they realize that something powerful has just been stated. Because they fixed their eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus read these words from the prophecy of Isaiah, no one in that room had ever heard them read in such a wonderful and powerful and meaningful and authoritative way. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, Mark reminds us that they were astonished, that the people were astonished at Jesus' doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The word had come alive in the ears of these worshipers, and their eyes were fixed upon the reader, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his eyes were fixed upon them as well. And then he said in verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah. I am the promised one. I come to preach the gospel to the poor. I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to preach deliverance to the captives. I come to recover of sight, to provide recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The scripture reveals to us that before Jesus ever came to his own hometown, his fame went throughout all of Syria, as we've already shared. He healed the sick, delivered the demon-possessed, and great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan followed him, many of them, no doubt, even into his own hometown. And with all of this great and wonderful evidence preceding his arrival to Nazareth, he was dismissed as merely the son of Joseph the carpenter. Look at verse 22. And all bear him witness. That is, all of those that were in that synagogue bear him witness. They all heard what he said. They all heard what he read. And it says, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? How can he be the Messiah? How can he be the Messiah? How can he be anointed of God? Did you know that in your own families, I know in my own family, when the Lord got a hold of my heart and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the hardest people in the world for me to testify and to share with were my own family folks, because they knew me before. And now that I'm suggesting that I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm seeking to walk to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they just wrote that off. You know, they just didn't listen. That's the reason it's so important for family members, for Christians who have family members who are lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ, for them to get a hold of other Christians to seek to be an encouragement to their brothers and sisters, to walk in a way that'll bring honor and glory to Christ, that will also lay a stumbling block, if you will, before your brothers and sisters, that they might come to find their need for Christ. To the witnesses in the synagogue, though captivated by his handling of the scriptures, Jesus was merely the son of a carpenter. It's worth noting that because of these people's lack of faith, Jesus did no miracles in his hometown of Nazareth. Isn't that something? All throughout Judea, the Lord was moving. All throughout Judea, God was blessing. God was healing the sick, recovering people of their blindness, healing whatever physical situation that they had, and also taking control over the demonic elements. And yet, in his own hometown, he could do no mighty miracles because of the lack of faith. And let me tell you something. In your own home, because of your lack of faith, maybe you're not experiencing the blessing that God can bring to your home. Maybe because of your lack of faith, you don't see the moving of the Lord Jesus Christ in your family. Who is Jesus to you? To these folks in the synagogue, he was Joseph's son. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. And Jesus said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Most important question in the world today is, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is he? Who is he? Because if he's just a prophet, he can't be your Savior. If he's just a good teacher, he can't be your Savior. He must be the Messiah. He must be the anointed one from on high, who's came, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If we are ever to find the peace of heart and soul that Christ came to give, if we are ever to be assured of eternal salvation, we must see the Christ, see Christ as Lord and Savior, and we must receive him into our heart as such. The Statue of Liberty holds a lamp high for all to see the entrance into a free world where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is possible. But the Lord Jesus Christ holds a greater lamp, a higher lamp that leads to a straight gate where only he can lead you through to life eternal, wherein reigns true joy and happiness and true liberty and justice for all. God in Christ Jesus came to open that gate for all who would believe. So Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Are you saved this morning? Have you found that true eternal life in Jesus Christ this morning? The Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God has made it very simple, hasn't he? He's made it very simple. The Jews someday, one of these days, the Orthodox Jews will see their Savior coming and they'll cry out, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But I'll tell you this morning, if you don't know Christ, if you've never made your personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is here today. He's here in this sanctuary right now and his arms are open. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor are in heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not just in the eternal, but in the present as well. Every one of us needs the Lord Jesus. Every one of us needs rest. Every one of us needs the comforting of the Holy Spirit, the encouragement and the strength of the Holy Spirit walking with us on a daily basis. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world. The Spirit of God was upon him, Father. He preached the gospel. He healed the sick, Father, and he also is proclaiming even today the acceptable year of the Lord. Father, we pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, that today they'll make their commitment to you, Father. And Lord, if there's one here that's made their commitment to you, but they may be walking adrift, maybe their presentation of Jesus Christ to the world in their life is not what it should be. Father, I pray today that they'll begin a new walk in the Lord Jesus. They'll open their hearts and they'll open their ears to the leading of the Holy Spirit as he guides them and as he makes available opportunities for us to share our relationship with the Lord. And Father, this morning, Lord, we just thank you for each one that's come this way. We ask you, Father, whatever the burden is upon their heart, that today they'll take that burden and lift it up to you, Father, and be set free. For Father, there may be liberty and freedom in the United States of America, but there is wonderful spiritual freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.